You're in the loop. We're here to discuss the ups, downs, and sideways of the sport of figure skating, and maybe give you plus 5 GOE along the way. I'm Yogita, and I slept through most of these events at 4 continents because time zones, and I like sleep. You can find me on Twitter, at Liliorum.
Hey, it's Kat, and I somehow always end up on episodes that require me to watch competitions on the other side of the world. You can find me on Twitter, at KatTweets with no E's.
So, this is the 2020 4 continents competition taking place in Seoul, South Korea.
I always love 4 continents.
It's probably my favorite competition.
It's definitely one of mine.
Like, every season, I look back and I'm like, what competition did I enjoy the most? And like, 95% of the time, it's 4 continents.
Yeah, which is like, I don't understand why some skaters like skip out on it all the time, because it's such a great competition. So, what did we think about 4 continents this year?
Well, let's talk about the sound quality, because yikes.
Oh yeah. If you were watching on the official ISU stream, you might have noticed that, especially in the earlier groups, there was some real issue going on with the audio mixing. There was, like, echoing that was going on, and the audio just suddenly cutting out, which was really weird, or it seemed to, like, have been connected to, like, the mic for the commentator. So whenever the mic shut off, the audio just went out, so you couldn't hear any of the music, which is, like, why are we watching figure skating without the music?
It was extremely weird. And, like, this wasn't just from the stream itself. The audio at the rink itself was pretty bad. According to Lynn, who was at the competition, she said that she could hear everything twice, and like, it was especially confusing when skaters use music with lyrics or fast songs. It was also kind of like mixed, because the sound quality seemed okay on the long side, but was really bad on the short side.
I was actually watching a couple of fan cams of like the competition, and some of the fan cams from the short side, it was a complete 1 second, almost 1 second after the other, which is just, it's just incredibly distracting. I mean, as a spectator, it's just annoying, but I really feel bad for the skaters. It was probably super distracting for the skaters. Like, Piper Gillis and Tim Coletto both tweeted about the audio issues in the rink.
Yeah, I feel so bad, especially for the ice dancers, for yep. their rhythm dance, where they have to have that strict timing for their pattern. Like, if the music is all messed up, they can't focus on their timing and their pattern.
Yeah, and it also makes it harder for the judges to judge, too. So, I mean, we'll probably get into this with the ice dance, but, you know, the tech panel may have cut the skaters a little bit of slack, considering the audio issues that were going on in the rink, which is definitely not preferable, especially for the rhythm dance.
In other audio issues, can we talk about the commentary at this competition?
Oh my gosh. I'm pretty sure that this was the same commentator for Euros, right?
It was, yes.
Yeah, all I could remember from the Euros commentator feed was that it was just generally inoffensive fluff. Like, he felt very much to be like a radio commentator, which if you listen to radio commentary, they'd like narrate everything that's going on the scene, like every single second.
But he didn't even narrate it correctly.
Yeah, I know. But it was just, it's just stuff like, oh, like they're skating to this, wearing this, and making like comments about costumes, and oh, the audience is cheering, or oh, like the energy in the arena is really awkward, which is like, why would you say that? I do not understand. He seems like the guy that you have sitting next to the technical expert. You know what I mean? Like, he, like, introduces everyone, and then you actually have an expert come in. Like, do you remember the Olympic commentator?
Yes.
Was Belinda with this truly useless guy.
It's fine. We got, like, 90% Belinda. It was fine.
Yeah.
What's especially frustrated me about Paul was that, in addition to his useless rambling, he was also very offensive to Jinhwan Cha. In his kiss and cry, he had received a traditional Korean hat, and he was wearing it during the kiss and cry.
And called him John Wan.
Oh my god, don't even talk to me about his pronunciation. And he just spoke at length about how, like, terrible looking this hat looked on Jun, and like how he should take it off, and he kept commenting about it for like a solid like minute.
Yeah, and then he like I think it fell off his head or something, and he said something like, oh, he must have gotten the memo. Just like, what?
For me, that felt particularly offensive, because Four Continents was in South Korea, like, you should at least do your research and know about the culture of the place where the competition is taking place.
Especially for, like, a skater that's skating at home, too. He definitely made a lot of really poor commentator choices.
Yeah. He also spent, like, an extraordinary amount of time just commenting on people's outfits. And it, like, kind of went from just, like, general commentary to being extremely rude.
I mean, if I had to pick between, like, commentator or no commentator, obviously pick, like, no commentator. But if we're going to have a commentator, then you would at least expect them to have some working knowledge of figure skating and also some cultural context, and just generally having a filter for when's the right time to say what.
Obviously, I do prefer no commentary and then no speaking during programs, but if you are going to speak during programs, I think Belinda Noonan is the status quo for that, because during the Olympics, whenever she spoke during a program, it was because she was talking about the actual element happening on the screen and telling you why it was a good element or a bad element. And I honestly learned so much from figure skating from her, and she exists at ISU. Hire her.
Yeah, and honestly, Charlie and Tanith were good about it during US Nats as well.
They were great.
They also have gotten a lot better, especially in the past. I used to think Tanith talked way too much, but now I think maybe NBC or something gave them the memo of, like, hey, maybe just don't talk during the program and comment afterwards, which, great. This is how we like it.
Now that we've complained about all of the audio issues, let's actually talk about the event itself.
Yes. Which, honestly, as far as, like, final results came down and quality of skating, it was pretty decent.
I'm honestly not mad about any of these podiums.
Yeah, I feel like this competition went very swimmingly.
Yes.
So, let's start with the pairs. So, in gold, we had Su Wenjing and Han Song from China, Peng Cheng and Jin Yang from China, and in bronze, we had Kirsten Moore Towers and Michael Marinaro from Canada. Let's just start at the top, I suppose.
I'll give you your time to shine.
Well, no, I want you to, like, join in too. But yeah, okay, so Sui and Han, of course, everyone knows my faves, definitely had me a little bit worried after the short program with that mistake on their throw double flip, which apparently is because both hands slipped on her dress during the throw. And so as just basic, I feel like probably as, like, a survival tactic so that she didn't risk injury, she just popped it in the air into a double. And she said that the same problem occurred during Grand Prix Final where just one hand slipped. And at Grand Prix Final, they had a mistake in their short program too, where she touched down with her hand on the throw triple flip, which had me really surprised because obviously they almost never make mistakes on that throw. And she wanted to fix it after Grand Prix Final, but he said it was fine. And she was like, nope, we're definitely changing it now. She sounded so mad at the press conference.
Honestly, you could see it on her face after she landed the double flip that she was pissed.
Yeah. Oh, and then the kiss and cry too when the score came up. I saw him put her hand on her, I think on her hand, and she, like, moved it away. I was like, oh, shoot. Honestly, their PCS, I always think that their PCS is the top of the field. Should be, like, no competition for PCS when Sui and Han are competing with anyone. I think that their PCS was low, on the low side, because they didn't even hit 36. But I'm fine with it, because as much as they tried to get it back, you could tell that they were a little bit distracted by the mistake. But overall, I don't think that that one mistake impacted the performance that much.
Like, this goes back to all of my issues with components, because, like, one mistake should not be affecting every single one of your components' scores. And, like, this wasn't even a major error. She popped it, she still landed it, it was fine, she moved on, they got positive DOE for that element.
I'm not gonna die on a hill over their short program PCS, but their free skate, however, even though she made the mistake on the triple sal, I still think that they should have gotten higher than 72 PCS, because everything, their transitions, their skating skills, their performance, everything is at least a 9.5 in my book. And there was no significant errors. I was expecting a score that was similar to Cup of China, because they basically skated a similar program at Cup of China with the same mistake. And I think that they got 75, but I don't know what else you could expect from them, because they skated perfect at Worlds and got a 76, so. Who knows? And judge number 6 from South Africa, who gave Sway and Han a 7.5 in transitions in the free skate. I don't get it. Anyways, they have a couple of weeks to prep for Worlds, and just with everything going on in China health-wise, I just hope that they can stay healthy and they're not gonna deal with any unforeseen circumstances and just monitor everything and just do what they're doing, and hopefully everything will be okay. And they got all of their levels finally in the free skate, so hopefully we can keep that going.
Moving on to our silver medalist Peng and Jin. I absolutely adore Peng and Jin. I think they're my favorite pairs team. Obviously last season was their breakthrough season with their short program. That's probably one of my favorite pair short programs ever. But like this season they have like two similarly amazing programs, and like especially their free skate allows them to just perform so well. They're so good at like taking on characters, and I'm glad that they've realized that this is the type of performers they are, type of skaters, and have really like worked at these programs to make them be more performative and like express these characters, so they can really like showcase that this is where they stand within Chinese pairs, because everyone's going to be comparing them to Sui and Han, and I think they've really managed to find their sweet spot and like stand out.
Yeah, I think that these programs work super well for them, and for me, I think that they definitely had their skates of the competition. Like, they should have won the short program way ahead of Mortaro's Marinero.
Oh, hands down.
I'm more offended that Mortaro's and Marinero placed ahead of Peng and Jin more than the fact that they placed ahead of Sui and Han, because they even placed ahead in PCS as well, and I don't agree with that, just because I thought that especially in the short program their choreo was so sharp, and despite the issues with the music they did not make any serious mistakes. They have better skating skills, I think, especially if we're comparing the two guys in the pairs, and I just think that they're both way more natural as performers as well. They're much more balanced. Let's talk about the free skate. She landed the triple salto.
Oh my god, she landed it. I'm so proud.
It was just a little bit forward.
It's fine. If she landed it, that's all that matters.
It's okay. That's all we care about.
And apparently she had twisted her ankle 3 days beforehand.
Yeah, she said that she twisted her ankle 3 days before the competition, and that she only landed 2 salts the entire time in Korea. Like, one during a practice and then the one during competition. So that's honestly so incredible, and I actually don't know which foot she had hurt.
I hope it's not the same one as she hurt in Scam.
Yeah, I feel like it's probably that foot, because I'm just thinking like she lands on that foot. So
am I just gonna have to constantly be in fear of Peng's ankle now, like I am with Yuzu?
I mean, that's just Chinese pairs in general. You just fear all of the knee and foot injuries, honestly. So on to our next pair, Kirsten and Michael. Okay, I thought it was really, really funny when Michael just slipped on nothing, because it was like the exact same kind of belly flop that he made during Grand Prix final, but that was on a throw. But this time it just happened like out of nowhere. And I can't even tell which one is better. I think it's probably better if it doesn't happen on the throw, right? Because then you just get the -1 deduction, and yeah, you don't get any negative GOEs anywhere else.
They had a strong performance in their short. I find their music very one note, and it doesn't really like tell any musical story. It doesn't have any highs and lows for me, so I really forget them immediately after I watch them.
I think that for them, it's just about keeping their performance is consistent and getting the elements. And as upset as Kirsten seemed to be at the end of their free skate, I don't know if it was because she was upset at Michael for falling, but I mean, she also did make a mistake as well, so it's not like she was faultless. But yeah, I think that they seem to always kind of fumble in the free skate, especially if they do really well in the short program, because if you remember last year at Four Continents, where they were leading ahead of Sui and Han again, they were so close to winning Four Continents if they didn't have that really scary lift where he almost dropped her, I think. And I think they lost out on like by like a tenth of a point or something. So I think it's about like just staying calm and keeping consistent after the short program. Otherwise, yeah, they panic and things start to fall apart. And I also wanted to talk quickly about Calla Lang and Johnson. They've been really having a great season. They had a moment at U.S. Nationals where they placed first in the free skate and second overall to get the silver at Nationals. And they unfortunately didn't get the world spot. That went to the Canarums and Kayla LeDuc. But they got assigned four continents, and they really proved themselves that that performance at Nationals wasn't just a one-off thing. And it almost makes me wonder maybe if the U.S. should have sent Calla Lang and Johnson to Worlds instead, because they seem to have... They've been doing pretty well all season. They did pretty well at Skate America and Skate Canada, well at Nationals, well here. So it almost makes me wonder, I mean, they're alternates for Worlds. It definitely doesn't make the U.S.'s chances of, like, keeping their two spots any less probable if Calla Lang and Johnson went for sure.
Yeah, I think the decision to send Kayla LeDuc over Calla Lang and Johnson was the wrong decision, because Kayla LeDuc have not been having a great season at all. But I do understand why U.S. sent them, because they were the ones that got them the two spots to begin with last season. Ultimately, I guess we'll see how things work out, but props to Calla Lang and Johnson to just putting out two great programs here.
And of course, Mira and Kihara, our favorite Japanese pair.
Yeah, this was their first major international competition. I don't think they did as well as we've seen them earlier this season, but honestly, I just care that a high potential Japanese pairs team even exists right now.
I think that they still have a ways to go, but I think that it just comes with more international competition. They just need the competition experience, and thank goodness they met the TES minimum at NHK, so they'll be able to go to Worlds. And they train in Canada, so traveling to Montreal won't be nearly as taxing, because they train in Toronto. And yeah, I mean, the elements need some work, especially the twist and the side-by-side jumps, but you know, I care more about the twist, because that's a bigger point getter for pairs, and it's way harder to get a good twist, so.
Yeah, I really hope that JSF puts in the time and investment in them, and they really work on building out pairs, because as we all know, Japanese singles, amazing, but pairs and dance are very small disciplines, and Japan has rarely had a big presence in those disciplines, and we're slowly coming to see more presence in pairs and dance this season, and hopefully the JSF will recognize that there is interest in both pairs and dance, and will begin to put more effort and investing time into training skaters to become pairs and ice dancers as well.
All right, so looking forward to Worlds.
We have a lot of interesting pairs matchups that potentially will happen here, but the one everyone's talking about is how Sui and Han will do versus Wojkova and Kozlovsky. Honestly, like, in the head-to-head competition, I would 95% of the time, on the 5% being if Sui and Han just mess up completely, give it to Sui and Han over Wojkova and Kozlovsky. Their components should be way higher than, as much as I love Bukova and Kozlovsky, Sui and Han's components really, to me, are the standard.
Yeah, I think that the judges have made it clear that this is not going to be, I think everyone in the beginning of the season thought, Sui and Han should win everything, way ahead of everyone. I still think it's their competition to lose, but they definitely do have to be clean or close enough to clean if they want to assure that they'll get the title. If both pairs are clean, they will give it to Sui and Han. I am like 99% sure, but Wojkova and Kozlovsky have been definitely improving on the PCS front. They got pretty high PCS at Euros, which was higher than Sui and Han got here for an almost clean performance. But I mean, Wojkova and Kozlovsky are Russian. Euros is very much like a pro-Russian affair. And they also skated last at Euros, so that also helps a lot. Sui and Han skated first in both groups.
Yeah. And also, like, just across the board here at Four Continents, not just in, like, pairs, but in all the disciplines, we saw really low components where we would have thought otherwise. So this is just consistency between what we see every season when we compare scores from Europeans and Four Continents. Four Continents always gives the lower components, especially compared to the Russians at Europeans. So hopefully we see less of that happening at Worlds.
And of course, who's going to make the bronze? I mean, listen, Peng and Jin made silver at Grand Prix Final. So who knows, like, what's going to happen? I think that most likely bronze is, if they were to make the podium, they'd get bronze. But who knows?
Listen, in my heart, they are on the podium already. In my heart. Listen, I still stand that they should have been on the podium last season. But they've had such tremendous momentum this season. Gold and silver in the Grand Prix. Silver to Grand Prix Final, now a silver here. Honestly, they should just get silver at Worlds and continue the silver streak. Well, let's move on to the ladies, where our podium was Rika Kier of Japan in gold, Young Yu of South Korea in silver, and Brady Tennell of the United States in bronze. Now, honestly, before we even talk about the ladies, I just want to call out that three skaters attempt triple axels and Kaori attempted a quad toe. So they are pushing the technical level here, and it's not just the Russians that are pulling out these amazing elements. Like, ladies from all over are working at it and trying their best to push the technical level, and honestly, some of them are succeeding. And the fact that they are even trying shows their tenacity and that they're not just going to fall behind the Russians. So I'm proud of them for that.
So let's get to talking about the podium. Rika Kihira,
the first lady to defend her four continents title, then win back-to-back golds, which I honestly was really surprised when I learned this.
Because everyone, like, just skips four continents all the time.
Like, I was like, I was sure Mao won back-to-back. And no, she didn't. She's won it twice, but not back-to-back.
And her Lutz is back from the war, finally. And it's still beautiful. And, I mean, I think that going into this, we all thought that this was her competition to lose. And she had the base value advantage. And I honestly thought, personally, she could have been scored higher in the short program, considering how complex that program is. And she skated it so well. But I'm not going to die on a hill about it. She did really, really well.
I honestly think she came here and did her job and set herself up as a potential medalist at Worlds. Like, given how Rika scored here, if Rika can get all three of her triple axels at Worlds, she doesn't even need the quad sal. She will be on the podium.
I agree. And I just keep going back and forth on whether or not she should go and do the quad sal. I think it will ultimately depend on how she does in the short program. If she is behind, I think at Grand Prix Final, because she was behind, she went for the quad sal because, I mean, she had nothing to lose, really. But if she lands the triple axel in the short program, she will be somewhere in the top three after the short program for sure. So I think it'll just depend on what the gap is.
Regardless, I still don't like these programs for her.
The thing is that I think that the short program, ever since I saw it live at Skate Canada, it has really grown on me. Just because the music is not really my taste, but the complexity of the choreography, like, I remember moments from it, at least. Like, the free program is an issue with me only because I remember almost none of the choreography. Like, the Beautiful Storm was so iconic because the choreography was so memorable. I think that the short program is not the iconic status that Beautiful Storm is, but I still at least remember things from it. And so that at least triggers my memory in a way.
Yeah, for her free, I think she's just trying to do too much in that free.
It's that the free program is a lot.
Regardless, I'm proud that she stepped up and, like, under the pressure of defending her title, did it again. So, well-deserved. Okay. Young Yu.
Your fave. Go off.
I just need to say that Young Yu came into this competition, and I didn't really know what to expect. She's been giving, like, good performances all season, but she hasn't really managed to give the performance yet. And here she is under home crowd, and I was so concerned about the pressure and her giving into the pressure, and she delivered. And she landed an amazing triple axel in her free skate. It was so beautiful.
Oh, man. I'm so impressed that she's, like, her consistency with the triple axel, too. Just triple axel consistency in general this season has been absolutely astounding.
Yeah, she still needs to, like, get it consistent to the point where she just lands it, because while she's been rotating it, she's been having, like, bad landings like she did in the short, or stepping out, etc.
The one in the free skate, though, had such gorgeous speed, and it was so huge. I do wish that it was less telegraphed and set set up, but she's got time to work on the setup to it. So as long as she can land it, you know.
Especially since this is her first season doing it in competition. I do want to call out that as much as I love her triple axel, she has the technical skills down pat now. Like, she's always been probably one of the best technical jumper of the Korean ladies, and this has been true since her junior years. But I really think she needs to take some time and really work on her performance, because she also has, I have the same issue with her performance that I have with Rika, in that she basically has the same facial expressions throughout the entire program. And this was especially bad during her step sequence and her free skate, because her free skate is to Vida and her step sequence is to Buenos Aires. And if anyone knows that song, it's like upbeat and sassy and super fun. And you could see her going through the motions of the choreo, but she's not performing it. Like, this was her opportunity to be sassy and fun in a really, like, intricate and deep, like, program. And she didn't really, like, perform it the way I wish she could. And I know she can, because she's done, like, fun programs in the past. Like she did a Pirates of the Caribbean program, and I thought she performed that a lot better than she performed this program. So, I understand the pressure was so deep on her shoulders here, but I really want to see her work on improving her performance quality, because once she has these triple axels down pat, I know she's also training quads. She's going to be one of, like, the top tier skaters.
I really, really hope so. But again, this is definitely just a growing season for her, because this is her first senior season. So I'm just so proud that she was able to make the podium.
She's the first Korean lady since Yeonah Kim to win a four continents medal.
Yes. And speaking of Yeonah Kim, though, when the crowd saw Yeonah come out for the medal ceremony, oh my gosh, like, you could hear them scream, and you could also see Young's reaction when she saw Yeonah. It was just, it felt like such a full circle moment, especially because when I remember the first time I'd ever heard of Young Yu was when I saw, it was just like this fluff piece or something, and she was talking about how, like, Yeonah would give her tips on training or would help her and, like, talk to her because she's, like, one of her idols. And it was just, it just really felt like a full circle moment. This was, like, I don't know how many years ago now, but it was really, really nice to see, because Young is Yeonah's legacy, is the impact that she had on ladies figure skating in Korea. So
speaking of legacies, I also just want to give a shout out to Yeolim Kim and Insoo Lim, who had also had two amazing performances here in South Korea, and also under so much pressure to skate well at home, and they, all three of our Korean ladies, truly delivered here.
I'm so sad that Insoo's not going to be at Worlds, but, you know, at least now she's got some time basically to settle. And I know that this season must have been hard, you know, adjusting to a new coaching situation, and, you know, she'll have a little bit of time now to regroup and get new choreo, and I don't think that this is, like, a huge setback for her. It honestly, in the grand scheme of things, it makes me happy to see that there is competition for the top Korean ladies, because, you know, the cream of the crop rises to the top, so there are so many amazing Korean ladies.
And there are even more in junior, up and coming in juniors too. Yep. Korean nationals is going to be as terrifying as Japanese nationals.
Do we want to talk about our bronze medalist?
Yes, Brady Tennell.
She had two pretty strong skates. Honestly, Brady delivers when it counts. I don't think it's wrong to say that she's consistent.
She is. I don't think I've seen her truly mess up in a while.
I mean, honestly, I don't think her skating is ever going to be my cup of tea, truly, just because I tend to like, you know, long lyrical lines, which she's doesn't really have that going on. But I like the short program more and more the more I see it. Honestly, it's a little bit bizarre. The music is a little weird. And I kind of think that she needed something a little bit weird and different.
Yeah, she said in interviews that, like, her short program is her favorite program she's ever done.
Honestly, she skates like it is. So I'm not mad about it, like, for sure. I think that because it's a little bit more bizarre and not like lyrical or typical,
it helps her stand out.
It also gives her room to grow too.
When I first saw her programs at the start of the season, I wasn't sure how I felt about it. I do actually enjoy her free skate for her. I think she enjoys it. She performs well to it, which I think is really all that matters at the end of the day. But, like, yeah, her short program is probably one, I think it's probably become one of my favorite short programs of the season, which I did not imagine that at the start of the season, because she just, like, enjoys it so much. She's always, like, smiling, and she has, like, interesting movements through it. I wish that she, in her free, which does kind of require that, she did actually hold some positions, though, because she is just going from movement to movement, and she does it well, but I wish there are moments where I'm wishing, like, just take the time to, like, live in that moment, because that's what this program is trying to sell.
And now some of our favorite non-podium people.
Our favorite ladies.
Wakaba and Kaori. I guess we could kind of talk about them in tandem. But yeah, Wakaba, I'm really proud of her, because she did not give up, and she went for that triple axel, and even though she fell, it was fully rotated. So honestly, that's a win in my book, and she landed so many beautiful ones during practices and during the warm-up for the free skate even. And I mean, you could tell from years and years that she's been training this for a while, and from her double axels, you could tell that her triple axel was going to be huge. So
she has Worlds to prove it, so I'm really excited to see it there.
I really hope that we're going to have, like, a Worlds moment for Wakaba. But yeah, I honestly think that her PCS, her especially her performance and interpretation, she just skates with so much passion and with her heart on her sleeve. And even though she doesn't have the most complex transitions, especially in the free skate, I think that her performance and interpretation is honestly unparalleled. I think that she has the best performance and interpretation in the entire ladies event. So I think that this is another example of where PCS, we should be looking at PCS in separate,
every component individually instead of the PCS corridor.
Yeah, exactly. I would be fine with Wakaba's transitions being high sevens, low eights, but her, honestly, performance and interpretation, 9.5, 9.7. I said it. Especially in the short program. So, yeah. And Kaori, let's talk about as well.
Kaori, oh my god, where did that quad toe even come from? Like, we saw reports of the quad toe, like, a week before for continents, and I was like, what are you doing? Where did that come from? Why are you doing this?
I remember hearing interviews, like, earlier in the season about her trying quad toes, but I thought it was one of those, like, oh, I'm practicing it in, I'm training it in practice, like, I'm just testing it out, not like I'm seriously training it for a competition kind of thing. And so I kind of forgot about it, because, you know, people say these things in interviews all the time, and then we don't see it in the competition. But then I heard, like, practice reports about her actually trying it, and now I'm just scared that she's gonna get injured, which, please, we can't have both you and Mai out of commission.
Shh, we don't speak of Mai. She attempted in the free, she fell, it was downgraded, but honestly, I was so confused by where it even came from. I paid no attention to the rest of her program. Though I don't think she paid much attention to the rest of her program, because she was extremely frazzled during her free skate. You could definitely see that she was not performing to the usual extent that she usually performs that program. Also, I am extremely concerned about her loop. She messed up her loop in both the short and the free. And the loop used to be her best jump. She's messed up at, like, past competitions, and at those I was like, oh, the ice quality was bad, so maybe that's why she's messed it up. But she has messed it up at every single competition this season.
I agree. I don't know. Well, this is the end of the season for Kaori.
She's just put too much pressure on herself this season, I feel, especially because of what's going on with Mai.
I think that she's just sad that Mai is not training with her.
Yeah, everyone knows that they're super close best friends, and that, like, they help lift each other up in during training. So, and she even said that she's gaining part of the season for Mai. So she just put too much pressure on herself. So hopefully next season Mai's back, and we'll have happy Kaori back as well.
Okay, we need to also give a huge shout out to Yellum Kim for finishing sixth here at Four Continents. And she honestly had one of the best free skates that evening. She placed fourth. And her only major issues were an under rotation and an unclear edge. And other than that, she was just so beautiful and ethereal and magical. And again, she had a lot of pressure here skating at home in Korea. And I think that she did absolutely amazing. And as sad as I am that Eunsuk didn't get selected for the world's team, I think that Yellim really proved to herself that her results at Korean Nationals weren't a fluke, and she was definitely the right choice to be picked for the world's team. So Korea will be very well represented in the ladies event for sure at Worlds. So excited to see her there as well.
And a final shout out, I guess, for Karen. I was really, really impressed by her free skate. I don't think that I've seen her skate that well in a really long time. I truly don't remember the last time I seen her go for everything.
Honestly, it was probably Worlds 2017.
Probably, because I don't think she popped anything here. She had a couple of under rotations either way, but she at least went for everything. And in terms of Karen always gets called, but in terms of just performance, I think that this was probably the best, yeah, that she skated since Worlds 2017 when she got fourth. But to me, it just seems like maybe it was because the pressure's off. She's not going to Worlds. This is the end of the season for her.
Yeah, I think she just wanted to give a performance she's proud of. She went back to one of her previous free skates at US Nats, which I love this free skate, and it's choreographed by her. Karen Chen, a woman of many talents.
She's got great skating skills. She's obviously got some of the best spins. And I think that aesthetically, I really like her jumps. Especially her triplets. Her triplets is so beautiful.
Her triplets is one of the best when she doesn't under-rotate it.
Yeah, the opening triplets from the free skate was a beauty. It was her trademark, basically. She's got that beautiful delay, but it unfortunately makes her prone to the under-rotation. So hopefully in the off-season, she'll keep working, and I think that she's gonna keep going. This has to be a good way to end the season for her, so, it has to be encouraging.
I will say that her components are a joke. If I had my way, Karen would have won components for the free skate, but I don't have my way.
Alas. So, for Ice Dance, in gold, we have Madison Chalk and Evan Bates of the U.S. For silver, we have Piper Gillis and Paul Poirier from Canada. And in bronze, we have Madison Hubble and Zach Donahue from the U.S. This was a bit of a messier Ice Dance event. I guess it's not as messy as it could have been.
Nothing will ever be as messy as stationary lift base.
We will always have that.
Honestly, there was a lot of, some major errors that you probably didn't really expect, Hawaii can Baker's fall out of their lift. I don't think I've ever seen that happen.
There was just a lot of mistakes, especially when you think that, Ice Dance is usually the cleanest event. There's usually not that many falls or mistakes. It definitely felt messy. I mean, in a way, a lot of the events this season have been messy, but still, I'm kind of tired of dumb mistakes happening during Ice Dance.
When you have more mistakes happening in the rhythm dance than the men's short event, you know it's messy.
Oh yeah. Well, we'll get to the men's short program for sure. So Chalk and Bates, I'm not gonna go off on the free dance because I think that we've done it enough. I think we all know that this free dance is not really our cup of tea, right? But they performed cleaner than Hubble and Donahue in the free dance, and they had their lead over Piper and Paul from the rhythm dance, which put them ahead. Even though Chalk and Bates still had that fluke fall in the free dance, which was a very surprising moment, but it didn't happen during an element, so they just got the -1 deduction, and it didn't affect any of their elements, which would have been way more disastrous.
Well, because we've talked so much about their programs this season, I actually want to take this time to talk about dance scoring. Because at this rate, all that really matters is the country you skate for and who your coaches are.
It is political.
It's all about politics. And when it comes to Chalk and Bates, I will stand by their lifts until I die. They have the best lifts currently. But their other elements are pretty weak. Their twizzles are pretty slow. They have messy patterns and step sequences, which means even when they do hit all the key points for their patterns or all the turns that they need for their step sequences, you'd expect them to get a low grade of execution because the edges weren't there. But they don't. They get really high scores. Really high GOE. I don't understand.
Well, I think that it's just, in terms of scoring for dance, not only is it, like, the GOE, but it's also how much can we fluff up the components. Because they fell in their free dance. And technically, a program with a significant error is not supposed to get above a 9.5, right? In performance interpretation. And they still got, like, a 9.75. So, I mean, the guidelines exist. And if you've ever seen judges do the scoring on their computer, there's not, like, a restriction or anything that prevents you from hitting the 9.5 or the 9.75 if there's, like, a fall deduction. You, like, you can still do it. It's almost just, like, a friendly suggestion. So at that point, it's like, why do you even bother having that rule?
It's only there for the skaters that you don't want to get high PCS.
Yeah, so what is the point in having that rule if you're not going to enforce it, first of all, or if you're just not going to manually have the restriction there? I think the same thing happened with Hawaii and Baker in the short program. I think that, like, they have to change the judging software so that they physically cannot hit the 9.75 or the 9.5.
Well, I just think having that rule is stupid. Whether or not you make a significant error or not does not always impact your components. Like, you can have, like, an error and still give the performance of your life.
I will say that that is true, but if we're going to have the rule, then just create the restriction. And in dance, a fall is a significant error.
Yes. Well, moving on to our silver medalists, Piper and Paul.
Yeah, they had two amazing performances.
If I could, I would have given them gold.
Yeah. I think that they had the best free dance. For sure.
They have my favorite free dance. They've consistently had my favorite free dances. And I would always, in my books, put them ahead of almost all other teams.
I think that I'm still stuck on how beautiful and iconic Vincent was. That this program feels similar to Vincent, but not quite iconic enough. That I'm left feeling like, oh, that was beautiful, but not, like, carrying it with me. But I still think that they are continuously the most interesting team in ice dance.
I also do love the new costumes.
Yes, the red is so much better than that nude.
It's so striking against the ice. It's perfect. I can't wait to see other worlds. Okay, Hubble and Donahue.
When are we going to stop seeing them make dumb mistakes? The thing is here is that you can either have bad material and skate it well, or you could have good material and make a mistake on it. You can't have both at the same time because they don't have good material here. And again, we've talked about this. We've talked about this before, so I'm not going to go off on it too much. But they don't have the best material and they're still making dumb mistakes. So it's like, at this point, the judges and the Federation are clearly dropping them. It's clear that Chalk and Bates are ahead of Hubble and Donahue, politically speaking. I mean, they went with Chalk and Bates at US Nats, went with Chalk and Bates at Grand Prix Final, and they went with Chalk and Bates at Four Continents. So clearly the Federation is favoring Chalk and Bates, and now it seems like the international judges are falling in line. Ever since Worlds last year, they've been going soft on Hubble and Donahue.
Yeah, I don't think Hubble and Donahue were ever really in US Fed's good books. Like, you could tell, like, this was so apparent during the Olympic season where they were US national champions, but they were not chosen for the team event.
I mean, could you blame them? The problem was that they were not reliable. I always think back to 2017 Worlds, where Zach fell. like, literally, like, 30 seconds away from finishing the program, Zach fell, and they dropped down to like 6th or 7th or something. And then at the Olympics too, Zach had that slip and fell. Come on, guys. They're the best ice dancers technically from the US. I think unquestionably they in general have, honestly, I've always just liked their energy, their performance energy. Even if their lifts are not as complex, they have a better performance energy than Chalk and Bates, in my opinion. I need them to get away from this weird, mushy program and stop making errors, for the love of God.
Yeah, I really think after Worlds, they really need to take a step back and rethink what their strategy will be. Because if they want to be the top US dance team, they cannot continue with the type of style of styling of their programs with a lot of the choices that they've been making choreographically. They really need to find something that'll make them stand out, and in a good way, because right now they're really standing out in a bad way and it's not really helping their case.
Yeah, so I mean, getting better programs is like step one for me.
I think so many ice dancers fall into this. We must skate about romantic programs. And I honestly don't think they should be skating to romantic programs. And I think they can learn from the ships who obviously couldn't skate to romantic programs and managed to turn out some of like the most like inspirational like pieces and some of the most fun like programs that of like all the ice dancers I've ever seen.
This is a great segue into another team that honestly they don't skate to romantic programs. Like, let's talk about Wang Shiyue and Liu Xinyu because they are a team, in my opinion, that exemplify how you can skate ice dance without being overly heterosexual.
Praise be.
Yes. I'm, first of all, so proud of them because this is definitely the highest place that a Chinese ice dance team has ever gotten at Four Continents. Yeah.
I'm just honestly so impressed with how well they did here. They got 119 in the free dance, which was 8 points ahead of their previous season's best from earlier this season.
Yeah, I think that they only broke 100 for the first time like last season too. So they've been really showing some really steady improvement. I think that they have probably my favorite pair of programs from all of the ice dance teams. Maybe second to Stepanov and Buchan, but this is definitely, especially their rhythm dance is so unique and so fun and perfect for them because they are kind of goofballs.
Yeah, I'm so happy that they just decided, yes, we're goofy, we're weird, let's just play into it.
They absolutely like deserved the scores that they got here, and I'm just like really proud of the way that they've improved so much in the past season. They're not making as many mistakes.
I would score them a lot higher in performance and interpretation, but obviously the PCS corridor,
especially in the rhythm dance, their rhythm dance performance is like that's a good 10 in my book. Honestly, I think that they are just so much fun, and I'm just so entertained by the silliness and the goofiness.
I'm so happy that they basically placed fourth in both the rhythm dance and the free dance. It was amazing to watch.
They got so many level fours in the free dance. I was so happy with them. Like, they got, like, their twizzles are one of the last elements that they have in the free dance, and they used to sometimes make mistakes, silly mistakes on like the twizzles or something, but they actually both got level fours. All of their lifts got level fours. They even got like a level three on their diagonal steps. They actually beat Hubble and Donahue in base value because of Zach's mess up on the twizzles.
I'm just honestly so impressed with how quickly these scores have increased over the past two seasons. And it's really like showing really good momentum that they can soon start winning medals on the Grand Prix.
Yeah. And they placed ahead of two Canadian teams too.
And they placed ahead of Hawaii and Baker.
Yeah. And three other Gabwa teams. So
we can see how Gabwa politicking is looking for worlds.
Yes. And I think that they deserve it though. Like, we talk about like teams getting politicking based on, you know, who their coaches are, but I honestly think that these guys deserve it.
Like, they've put in the hard work and effort to really improve
and get programs that suit them
and like get programs that are unique to dance. Like, as you said, like, they're not doing romance, they're having fun and they're having really interesting, and they're honestly setting themselves apart by doing this.
Looking forward to Worlds. Honestly, it might be this might actually be a really interesting competition considering what went down at Euros and now what's going on with the American teams. I think that the podium is not necessarily set in stone anymore.
Previously to this, I could have told you the exact placement of everyone on the podium, and right now I cannot. And there's like, is this good? It's unusual for dance. And I also can't tell you who will actually get bronze, which is also unusual for dance.
Between Grand Prix Final, Euros, and Four Continents, the podiums have been so crazy. It's so hard to say exactly what's going to happen at Worlds, especially just politically behind the scenes, what's going on with the French Federation as well. But yeah, it's going to be a showdown basically between the French, the Russians, the Americans, and that's it, I suppose. And Piper and Paul, actually. Don't count them out. Don't forget, this is Canada's Worlds, so.
So, if I were to give you a prediction, it would probably be Papadakis' Road, Cincinnati, Katsalapov, and Chalk and Bates, just based on, like, the scores they've been getting this season.
Yep.
But honestly, like, Stepanov and Buchan and Piper and Paul, potentially, if they skate the best skates of their life in both the rhythm dance and the free dance, could also make it to bronze.
It's basically going to be a repeat of Grand Prix Final, because that's exactly who was at Grand Prix Final. It was two Russians, two Americans, French, and Piper Paul.
It does make me sad because I love Guinard and Fabry, but if things were actually scored just based on, like, how well you perform your technical elements, they would be much higher on this list. But alas, politicking.
Yeah, unfortunately, politicking plays a huge role in it. And who knows? I mean, they have been shown to do really well, especially in the rhythm dance. So if they create enough of a lead against some other teams and place in the final flight, which is a big deal, placing in the final group of the free dance. So, you know, we don't know what could happen then with PCS and all that stuff. So
basically what we're saying is, for once, we have no clue what's actually going to happen with Dance at Worlds.
Yay!
Okay, moving on. Let's talk about the event everyone was waiting for. The men, we had Isuru Hanyu of Japan in gold, Jason Brown of the United States in silver, and Yuma Kageyama of Japan in bronze. And first, let's just say this is probably the best men's short event I've seen in years.
How many people skated clean in the short program?
13.
That is wild. 13.
The top 13 skaters were either clear or had, like, maybe an under rotation or a flip error, but are, like, an edge call, but other than that, there were no falls in the top 13 men. I just want to, like, give a call out to something that was true across this competition, but, like, especially true with the men, is that components are a joke.
If only we could get rid of the PCS corridor somehow, some way.
I think, for me, one of the biggest grievances was Tomoki Hiwatashi's transition score, because he got a 7.46. Compared to Boyang Jin, who got a 8.0, and no offense to Boyang, but Tomoki does more transitions in, like, the first minute of his program than Boyang does in the entirety of his program.
Tomoki has some of the coolest transitions into his jumps.
Yeah, he does, like, a Russian split into his triple sal.
Yeah, and a cantilever into his triple loop.
Like, who does that? No one does that.
What's the point in separating out PCS if you can't have more variation? At that point, you might as well just give one score for the PCS.
Moving on from the annoyances of the PCS corridor, let's talk about our favorite skaters.
Our favorite chaotic recycling genius.
The one and only Yuzuru Hanyu. He got his super slam, and honestly, that's all that matters.
Like, at the end of the day, he won everything. I think that it is worth having, like, a meaningful discussion, because I think it's really funny that everyone kind of found out through the ISU website, and everyone thought it was, like, a glitch, but no, he really actually did decide to go back to Chopin for the fourth time and Seimei for the third time.
You know, when I first saw that, I was like, why? But that was, like, more of my gut reaction to him recycling again. And then after I thought about it, it, like, really made sense, because, one, Otoniel and Origin were not giving him the scoring potential that he needed, and two, he never really felt super comfortable with those programs, especially after he came out with the interview saying that he felt like he had to live up to the potential of those programs because they were tribute programs, and he wasn't really skating for himself there. He was putting himself under a lot more mental pressure to skate those programs well. And going back to Chopin and Seimei really let him focus on himself.
That's what matters. Yeah, I mean, I had the same reaction as you. My initial reaction was just like, oh no, Seimei is going to be shortened by 30 seconds. Like, that perfect program is going to be shortened by 30 seconds. And they changed a couple of, like, he definitely had to change his jump layout, because they took out a jump prior to the 2019 season. And we've seen it before, especially in ice dance, where once they made a lot of changes to the requirements and the free, skaters who return to those programs end up having a really tough time adjusting to it, because the muscle memory that you think you'd have going back to a repeat program ends up not being as solid as you might think, just because of all the changes you made to it. So that's the part that I was personally afraid of. as a fan, I was obviously disappointed that he didn't come to the realization that maybe he shouldn't have recycled his tribute programs during the off season. And because I know that I don't know how much longer Yuzu will be skating, I selfishly want to see new content for him, because as an artist, I just think he has so much more to give the world. But ultimately, like, just hearing his interviews and how much he put the thought into changing and going back to his programs, I don't think that he did it as a cop-out. I think that he ended up just like you said, realizing that he needed to skate for himself. And I think just hearing that made me realize, oh, okay, I should not be selfish about what I'm expecting him to put out. I think that it's just important for him to kind of reinvigorate his love for skating. And if it means going back to, these are basically his emotional safe space, emotional comfort programs. And if it means going back to it just for these two competitions, because the season's basically done soon, if it just means that, then I can live with seeing, I'm not going to complain about seeing Seimei at Worlds.
And, like, the thing is that we know he's going to have new programs next season. He said that he came to realization that he didn't want to do Origin or Tornado after Medalist on Ice. So he barely, and he wanted to get new programs, but that was just too short of a timeline. So he swapped back.
Yeah, you can't get new programs in a month and a half. Especially right before Worlds, like, that's not possible, so.
I'm happy he's back in a mentality where he is happy to skate, and he's putting out programs that he's proud of. And I'm also happy knowing that he himself said he wants new programs, so we'll see what comes next season.
That, like, at least, like, calms my soul a little bit, because I'm like, oh my god, like, the idea of getting new Yuzu programs is just always so, so exciting, because, like I said, I just think that he has so much more to offer, just as an artist, and just, I just selfishly want to see as much new content from him as I possibly can, because I truly don't know how long, like, he'll be around for, and every time he skates is magic. So if every time he gave us, like, a new program, it would be really, really wonderful.
It would be Chopin if he didn't put out a new short program world record.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Again, not gonna die on the hill of him, like, getting a 48 PCS, but at the same time, what else do you want? What else could you want from a program?
His short program here was probably the best I've ever seen him skate in, honestly, since the Olympics.
I don't think it had the Olympic moment that, like, obviously the Olympics is just, like, such a unique, special circumstances, and, like, given the, you know, the context of what was going on with him at the time, that was just such a moment for him. But just on the pure skating terms, I can see why a lot of people would think that that was, like, his best skate. But again, I'm just so sentimentally attached to seeing that program from the Olympics that, like, I can't really distinguish them in my head, truly, because they are slightly different as well.
It's nice that we can look at these different programs and see that it isn't just the same performance over and over again. And he spoke about how skating Chopin is, like, fine wine, so.
That's definitely not what you would call a lazy skate. The fact that he actually did bring it back and kind of refine it a little bit, too, I think that he did bring something new to it, too.
Let's talk about his free, where he only landed one quad.
Well, okay. I mean, like, he didn't land it perfectly, but I still count the quad lots, okay? It wasn't perfect, but it still landed.
He only landed one quad cleanly. Shall I restate that phrase?
Again, he did have to change the free skate a lot because of the 30 seconds, and he also had to take out a jump. So, I was expecting the free skate to be a little bit rougher on the edges.
Yeah, I agree. Can we talk about his insane triple axel into a triple flip?
If we're gonna talk transitions, that is like a 10 in transitions, by the way.
Yeah, we're gonna use a triple axel as a transition into your triple flip.
I could tell he was probably a little bit salty about not reaching 300, but at the same time, I'm like, he's gonna, I think that this is at least gonna give him motivation for Worlds. I think that there's still room to grow it, so.
What makes me actually laugh is that he would have reached 300 if he didn't get the edge call on his flip.
Oh my god.
But also, what were his components?
Okay, he got, the fact that he got an 875 in interpretation offends me to my deepest core in the free skate. Like, how dare you give anything less than a 975, honestly, in interpretation to Seimei?
He embodies this program. Like, even if it isn't perfect, even if he made, like, a bunch of, like, jumping errors, who cares? He embodies this program in ways that nobody else can ever embody any of their programs. Honestly, like, even with, like, the errors with the jumps, I wouldn't have given this program any lower than, like, 94 in components. Just because of how he skated it.
The step sequence, though.
Oh, the step sequence was glorious. I miss the step sequence so much. Let's talk about Jason.
Honestly, he was another one that I think that should have gotten higher PCS. If Jason scores around Yuzu's components, like, that does not offend me at all. But I think that they both should have scored at least 3 to 4 points higher.
Jason's free is really, like, this is his program. He puts his heart and soul on the ice every time he skates it. And I want him to get 95, 96 in components for this program.
He has just such beautiful skating. Just pure skating that is, like, if you just ignore the jumps, that is, like, you just want to watch him skate. It's the same with Yuzu. And those are the skaters that I tend to connect with more. The ones that I can ignore the jumps. And I can still just love to watch them skate. Like, Satoko is the same way. Aliona. But again, judges and components, as we went off before, so we're not gonna go too hard again. But I hope that this is setting him up really well for Worlds, though.
Jason has amazing control of his body. He has probably the best lines of all the men.
And he got all his levels.
I'm so proud of him. He won a silver here without a quad, continuing to prove you don't need a quad. I think that Jason, as much as he wants the quad, and I'm happy that he keeps going for the quad because he wants it, not because he thinks he needs it, because he just has consistently been proving that, like, he doesn't need this quad to be a major contender. And I'm just really proud of the work he's put out here at Four Continents. Moving on to our bronze medalist, Yuma Kageyama.
Yuma!
I'm just, like, speechless.
Honestly, he had me worried at Junior Grand Prix Final, but I think that Junior Grand Prix Final was a fluke.
He put out 3 season's best years. Did you know now he has the 6th highest season's best of all the men?
Okay, honestly, I would not be surprised if, like, for whatever reason, they just send Yuma to both Junior and Senior Worlds. Like, I do believe that he has a shot at he would have a shot at the podium. It's unquestionable. And he made the podium at Four Continents.
I'm just so impressed with him. Like, he is a junior currently, but his skating skills exceed that of so many of the current senior men. He just zooms across the ice. His landings are so good. His quad toe has been really solid this season, so I have no worries about that. His triple axel is a bit messy, but when he lands it, it's excellent.
I think that was the only jump that he really messed up, right?
Yeah, he messed up with the triple axel in his free. He had his first, like, fully clean short. I think he had an edge call in the short too, but, like, jump-wise, no, like, issues with the jumps. And he scored a 91, and I was so proud. But yes, Yuma, you're let's edge. We need to work on that. That's, like, the one major issue with Yuma, is his let's edge.
But yeah, I think that he's a solid favorite now for winning the junior world title.
100%. Like, he did have some unfortunate errors at Junior Grand Prix Final, but, like, with his showing at Nationals, at the Youth Olympic Games, and now here, he's, like, made himself a solid contender. These programs have only helped improve his components to the point at which they're significantly higher than the majority of the other junior men. Okay, let's talk about some of our other favorite men.
Boyang! Honestly, considering what a mess Boyang usually is in the first half of the season, this is okay for me. Like, he didn't fall at least. He popped twice, which made me sad, but at least his quad lats is back.
Oh, blessed be, blessed be.
Blessed be.
He landed the quad lats triple toe in the short. I don't care if it wasn't clean, he landed it. He landed it. That's all that matters.
And he got all his levels in the free skate, which is really, really good for him. Because usually the step sequence has me worried, but he got all his levels.
Four continents is usually Boyang's, like, best competition.
Yeah, but I think that Boyang, in particular, his performance has grown so much in the past season. Like, I think that these two programs are great, especially the free skate. The second half of the free skate really comes alive, I think.
Yeah, I love the step sequence. It's probably one of my favorite step sequences this season. It really shows off his ability to perform. I will say, like, the first half of his program is still pretty empty because he's focusing on the jumps. He's focusing on trying to get the quads. So
I'd say, like, after, like, the first half of the program, he actually does include a couple of more transitions into, like, the next jumping segments. The program really builds beautifully, in my opinion. So, man, I just love Boyang so much, and I just want the best for him because I know that he's got a lot of pressure on him. And, of course, Junwon Cha.
Jun, oh my god. Jun was under so much pressure. I think he was probably the Korean skater under the most pressure in this event.
He did so well here. Oh my god. His short program and his free skate, oh my god, was so amazing here. I do not care about the under rotations at all.
Who cares about under rotations? That program made me cry.
Just the second half of the program, like, where he does the inner bower, it's just, like, such a beautiful layback, and he holds it, and then he does the spiral.
That's such a powerful moment in the program. Like, honestly, I don't remember the jumps, but I remember that moment.
Right on the music. And the thing is that, like, he does it with his, like, arms outstretched and right on the ebb of the music as well. Like, it's just perfectly musical as well. It's not just on the music, but it's with the music. Ugh. It's just such a good moment.
Yeah, you can really tell that he is really performing with the music, and he really put his, like, heart out in that program. This is definitely the best performances he's given all season. So after the Grand Prix final last season, he was kind of then, like, ended up on this slump and was under rotating everything and was having a lot of issues, and that continued on to early this season, but he seemed to hit a reset point at Korean Nationals, and I'm so happy that Korean Nationals wasn't a fluke and that we see Jun really stepping up to the plate now.
His music in particular is extremely fast-paced, and I can't imagine what it must have sounded like in the rink, because it already kind of naturally has, like, an echoey quality to it because it's got, like, the emphasis and, like, repeat notes, so it must have sounded so bizarre. Like, the fact that he was able to still have, like, a great performance despite, like, the echoey music, like, that's pretty impressive. So, and another thing that I really appreciate about this program is that it has such clear musical accents here and there that he uses it to his advantage, not only for the choreographic, like the Ina Bauer, but he lands his jumps on the music as well. So they make his jumps more memorable as well, and they make his jumps part of the program, and I really appreciate that about the program, and it's wonderful.
So, like in many other disciplines, Four Continents was kind of a showdown for the Canadian men, who have only one spot, unfortunately, at their home worlds, to see who would be placed on the world's team. And Roman Sadovsky is the reigning national champion. But unfortunately, he didn't really do that great in the short program, which really sucks for him because it really hurt him since the majority of the men did so well. So he placed so low in the standings that there was no way he would be able to recover with the free. And Keegan also has been having an overall rough first season, you know, in light of what happened in his personal life with his brother. And so I actually think that Skate Canada made the right decision. They announced that they were sending Nam to Worlds. He did place the highest here. And I think that they made the right choice because, I mean, he's been having a better season and he's been scoring well. And I think that Keegan could probably use the time off to prepare for next season. And
this is only his third senior season,
so he's got time to grow and mature, and he might be really, really intimidated just
going out on at Worlds at home, being the only Canadian man. So I think that Nam might be the best option.
Just a few quick shout outs. I want to give a shout out to Kazuki Tomono, who gave two excellent programs here. He was the first alternate for Japan and came to Four Continents because Shoma decided to sit out this competition. And I don't think I've seen him skate this well since Worlds 2018.
Honestly, I'm just like, I'm so heartened by seeing the future of Japanese men, because like we've got Shun and Yuma in the junior ranks and we've got Kazuki. So like we've kind of got, you know, our veterans like in Yuzu and Shoma, but then we definitely see who's coming up, like who's ready to kind of come in and take the mantle. So it's just really, really nice to see in general.
Also, Kazuki landed all of his quads, and I've never been prouder of him.
Woo!
Also, shout out to Hanyeon, because he was great.
Yes! Oh my god, best skating skills in the business. Ugh. I just love watching him skate so much. I'm so happy he'll be at Worlds.
Ugh. Speaking of Worlds.
Obviously, we're going to have the, I suppose, showdown between Yuzu and Nathan. I suppose Shoma, too. We haven't seen Shoma since Nationals, but he really did well there, so we'll... You know, you never know. And then we've got the battle for bronze. There's a long laundry list.
A long list of people who can make bronze.
It just ultimately depends on the day.
It's the day, who can land jumps. There's so many people who could take bronze at Worlds. It's kind of crazy.
There's a lot that could happen because men traditionally are a hot mess.
The men were not as much of a hot mess as they could have been at Four Continents. So I will applaud them for that. They're definitely going to be a crazy hot mess at Worlds.
Our shout out of the week is to our fabulous photographer Lynn for braving the travel to Korea and taking so many beautiful photos for us, and Gab for helping edit and upload everything, because editing and uploading is definitely no easy task either. You can all see on our Twitter.
And writing amazing captions as well.
Very difficult. Thank you both. You guys are awesome.
Well, thank you for listening. We hope to see you again for our next episode. Thanks to our transcribing and quality control team, Evie for editing, and Gab for graphic design.
If you want to get in touch with us, then please feel free to contact us via our website, inthelowpodcast.com, or on Twitter. You can find our episodes on YouTube, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify.
If you enjoy the show and want to help support the team, then please consider making a donation to us on our Ko-fi page, and we'd like to give you a huge thank you to all of the listeners who have contributed to our team thus far. You can find the links to all of our social media pages and our Ko-fi on our website.
Also, we have merch now, so if you would like to contribute that way, you can check out our merch on Redbubble. All the links will be on our website as well.
If you're listening on iTunes, please consider leaving a rating and a review if you enjoyed the show. Thanks for listening. This has been Yogita
and Kat. Bye!
Bye!